not doing so, but it's their responsibility.
The Zapatistas, he says, are on their own. Free Speech Radio News is produced at Pacifica Stations KPFA in Berkeley and WBAI in New York and community radio station WMNF in Tampa, Florida. The newscast is produced by Aaron Glantz, headlines editor Randy Zimmerman, technical producer Jade Padgett-Seekins. We have technical assistance from Kata Mester and Nell Geiser, web support from Vanessa Tate. Our interns are Rosalind Fay, Susan Chelly, Rich Kim, Fernando Romero, Christopher Martinez, and William Perdomo. And Deepa Fernandez.
And this is radio station WBAI in New York, where the time is 7 o'clock on a Tuesday. No, on a Wednesday. Time for Off the Hook. These days I'll get it right. I'll know what day it is, and won't keep saying it's Tuesday. But yes, it is indeed Wednesday. It's 7 o'clock, time for Off the Hook in our new time slot, which I guess is just about, what, 2 months old? Something like that? Yeah, if you're tuning in for Exploration, you missed it. It was on at 5 o'clock. But people really should know that by now. Although some people might be coming home from summer vacation, turning on the radio, looking for their favorite shows, and finding them all over the place. Well, this is the schedule for now. Off the Hook comes your way every Wednesday night at this time, followed by the Personal Computer Show. It's a night of technology. And we have all kinds of news to update you on. We have Mike and Jim with us today in the studio. Hello.
Hello.
How are you guys doing? Any adventures out there in the streets?
No.
There's always adventures to have. I mean, I always seem to be having them. Well, I guess
Amtrak delivered me on time today.
Oh, that's right. You were up in Massachusetts. You know, I should have thought about that because they grounded their fleet.
Yes. But for those of us who can't afford the expensive trains in the first place, the regular train came in on time.
That's something I don't understand. Now, they replaced a lot of the regular trains with the special trains that are twice as expensive. So what happens to all the people that, you know, don't want to pay twice as much? You know, they...
Yeah, there are still some less expensive trains, which are confusingly called also Acela Regional.
Acela Regional as opposed to Acela Express. Well, those ones, they get you there 10 minutes later or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. Because in New England, they don't go fast anyway. They only go fast between New York and D.C.
I don't understand the whole thing.
Trains in the States. I'll never quite understand that. Jim, maybe you understand that, but I don't understand that.
It's not worth explaining.
Okay. Well, anything new in the world of subways, apart from the fact that the MTA is gunning for you? Anything new in technological-wise?
No, not really. The Post had an article this week on something that's been going on for years, guys buying fun passes, the one-day MetroCard, and pretending to be employees and swiping them in exchange for a token or for cash and pocketing the difference. But that's old. That's nothing.
Clever. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be here next week. I should be back the week after that. But next week I'll be in France, actually. No, I won't be over in Europe. I'll be here in North America, going back to the French island of Saint-Pierre and Miquelon. It's going to be interesting because I know more about it now, having been there once before, little less than a year ago. I'll be calling. Actually, I guess you guys will be calling me somehow. I'm not sure if we're going to have a European-style ring over there, so we're going to learn things like that. I do know it's not the country code 33 like France is. It's like 507 or something like that, some North American country code. And so we'll try to establish contact there, and I'll give you a report. Interesting thing, I rented a car, and I rented a car with this feature called Never Lost. Have you heard about this?
No.
This is a GPS type of a thing that they put on Hertz rent-a-cars these days. You have to pay extra for it, but it's kind of fun to play with. Now, When Rob and Barry were here last month for the conference, they rented a car and they happened to have this feature on. Now you can imagine two hackers like Rob and Barry, you know, Barry the Key, the expert locksmith, having them, you know, play with a system like this is pretty unbelievable. One thing they told me was that when they tried to get to an address in New York, it dropped them someplace else instead. So I decided to duplicate that myself yesterday. And I entered an address. I was out on the island. I entered an address on East 29th Street in New York. And I followed the directions. It was, it was really good. I was very impressed with it. This little voice. If you ever played the game Blade Runner, one of my all-time favorite computer games, I have very few, by the way, there's a voice in there, a female voice that controls a computer inside the game. It's the same voice. She's on this thing, too. It's kind of creepy. You know, she says, stick to the designated route and, left turn coming up and things like that. And there are different voices, too. You can have German, you can have French, you can have Japanese. So I was following this thing all the way into the city. It really wanted me to stay on the Northern State Parkway, which was a shame because it was closed. So I had to keep going out to the expressway, and it kept getting angry at me, saying, please get back to the route that I designated for you. Eventually, I was able to get back onto it. I knew something was wrong when it told me to get off at the Jackie Robinson Parkway, a road the former Interborough Parkway. I never get on that road, never go down there, because that goes to Brooklyn, and every time I go to Brooklyn, I get lost. So I said, oh, okay, I'll see what this thing is trying to do. Maybe there's some super, wormhole through Brooklyn that I don't know about that this thing is going to, lead me on. So, I follow it. I'm going through local streets in Brooklyn, local streets, Nostrand Avenue, and, traffic lights and pedestrians and things like that. And I'm wondering, what is this thing thinking? How is it going to get me to East 29th Street in New York? And finally, it tells me, just like Rob told me a month ago, it just announced, you have arrived. And I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm in the middle of apartment buildings. And I look, and sure enough, the address is exactly what I told it. It's on East 29th Street in Brooklyn, though. It was not New York City. So it's a kind of a big major flaw in this program. Whoa. That, what, am I...
Brooklyn is New York City.
It's, you can't address something to New York, New York, and expect it to arrive in Brooklyn. I'm sorry.
It's New York City, but it's the borough of Brooklyn. It's
okay.
Still New York City.
Well,
yes, there are multiple East 29th Streets.
Well, I just thought that was... I mean, what else am I going to enter when I'm typing in an address? It's obvious.
It didn't ask you for the zip or anything?
No zip. No zip code or anything like that. So here I am in the middle of nowhere in Brooklyn. I have no idea how to get out of this place. And this is finally where this thing comes in handy, because it can get me to Manhattan. The only problem is, any address I'm going to give it is going to correlate to something in Brooklyn or maybe Queens. So I figured...
Wall Street.
I don't know. For all I know, there's a Wall Street in Queens. I don't know. I wanted to come up with something, I was trying to spell Tompkins Square Park. I wasn't sure if it had an H or not, so I wasn't able to do that. I was thinking, First Avenue, Second Avenue. I mean, they're all probably duplicated somewhere. I was thinking Avenue A, Avenue B, there in Brooklyn as well. Finally, I came up with Lexington Avenue. Lexington Avenue, I know this is not in Brooklyn. I know it's not in Queens. And sure enough, the thing gets me on to the BQE. I mean, I spent hours trying to find the BQE in Brooklyn. This thing found it in 5 minutes. I was impressed. I really was. But then it told me to head west on the BQE instead of east. Now, I don't know much about Brooklyn, but I do know that when you head east on the BQE, you're actually heading north. And that's taking you closer to New York City. When you head west, you're heading down towards the Verrazano Bridge and places like that. But, again, I said, okay, let me just see. Maybe this thing knows something I don't know. I drove along for a while. And then when I saw the sign that said last exit before toll, that's when I said, no, I'm getting off here. This is enough. Turns out there's a Lexington Avenue in Staten Island. And that's where this thing was trying to take me this time. Needless to say, this thing's going to remain off for a good part of the trip. But it was a fun little adventure. I got a little tour of parts of New York that I hadn't seen in a while. And I found out, too, in the end, what you have to type in. You have to type in Manhattan, New York.
Ah.
Yeah, Manhattan. That's what they say. It doesn't tell you that anywhere. Manhattan, New York. So whatever you type on envelopes is invalid for the GPS. But if anyone's played with this, it's called Never Lost. It sure got me lost. and I'm sure you can have all kinds of fun with it. I'm told Canada is in there as well, so I'm going to go all over the place with that. I don't know if the French island is on there. Of course, you can't bring a car to the French island anyway, but I imagine it'll show up on the map at some point when we're driving near there. It's cool, though. You know, one of the things I've been doing in the last few days in preparation for this whole thing is using my Canadian DSS system, which I obtained illegally. I don't know if it's really illegal, but I don't know anybody else that has Canadian TV. What's cool about Canadian TV is that they encourage you to watch different regions. Here in the United States, that's not even legal. You can't watch a TV station from Chicago or Los Angeles unless, you know, you get special type of permission or their special type of station or something like that. But there, they encourage you to see local programming in different places. And, yeah, that means you can get, like, five different episodes of Seinfeld a night instead of just one or something like that. Here, that would be the worst possible thing because you're watching the wrong commercials and you're not paying the right people. But there, you can basically turn on a station in Nova Scotia and find out the latest news over there. You know, or turn on a station in Newfoundland, find out what's going on.
What
because
is the
of
latest
this,
news in Newfoundland?
I'm glad you asked. The latest news in Newfoundland, a bunch of cows fell off a cliff because a bull was chasing them. I'm not kidding. It's a big event over there. And you saw them. It was horrible, actually. They were floating in the water with rescue rope around them because the rescue didn't work. But in Newfoundland, that's what they're talking about now. It's a bunch of cows just plunging off a cliff because these bulls got out of control and were chasing them. And there's a festival in Halifax right now, which is going on. And there's a heat wave over in the Maritimes as well, which is what you call that part of Canada.
Oh,
there's a
heat
wave
what,
here,
16?
Too.
There's a heat wave here, too, but it's I don't know if it's the same heat wave or a different one, but they're not used to it. This is the first heat wave of the summer for them. And
lucky.
Yeah. It's a totally different way of life. And, of course, I also am able to pick up the station from St. Pierre, which is the French island, which is totally in French and has all kinds of programming from different parts of the world, which, you know, I think is really cool. So if I wanted to go to, you know, Miami or something like that, God knows why I would want to do that. But let's say I wanted to go to Miami. I couldn't find out anything about it without having to, you know, explore on the net and, you know, read local newspapers and things like that. I couldn't just, like, turn on something and see the cultural differences. Not that there really are a lot of cultural differences on television that you will see.
And that violates the American way.
Apparently it does. I mean, you never see accents. You never hear accents. You know, on the radio, you listen to a radio station, it's always the same voice no matter where you are in the country. Same thing with TV. But I was watching the newscast about the farmers, you know, losing their cows, and you couldn't understand the word they were saying because it was some bizarre dialect over there. And I just thought that was really cool.
You know, rather than just rail against this, we should actually start a movement, write the FCC and have them allow Americans to do this. We should be a freer country than Canada, that outpost of British Commonwealthism. And we should have the ability to tune in to local stations across the country with our satellite dishes.
What better way than to get the nationalist spirit up, right?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. And on top of that, you know, we're
who was
facing
in the World Cup? We were in the World Cup. They weren't in the World Cup, right? You want that?
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
What else can I think of?
But besides that, I mean, we're facing an international terrorist enemy. And what better way to come together as a nation than to learn about various parts of it?
How about learning about various parts of the world, then maybe we won't have all these
that
terrorists
too,
trying
but,
to kill us.
But let's start the easy way.
While you're in the process of writing FCC Chairman Powell, who I'm sure by pure coincidence is the son of Colin Powell.
Does he know that?
I don't know.
Yeah. One of them
you might want to also ask for something useful.
Like?
You know, more regulation to prevent media monopolies, or whatever interests you.
Well, I'd like just, you know, not more regulation so much as just the normal regulation that existed before they took away, you know, the
letters to government should be relatively short, relatively concise and on one topic. Write two letters.
Yeah. Well, I'd like for broadcast, you know, broadcast abilities to be given to many, many different people and not just the few that seem to have it here. And that's a continuing problem. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get into some of the news that's been going on around the country and around the world. And then we'll take phone calls, 212-209-2900. I guess there's really no point calling now unless you're, you know, local, because the phone companies see fit to disconnect you after a certain number of rings. So it's probably not even a good idea to try until we say, okay, we're about to take phone calls. That's just the way technology is these days. With national nerves raw after a series of high-profile child kidnappings, aren't they high-profile? It's amazing. You almost have to wonder, you know, what's going to happen next? It's like when Janet Reno announced that they were going to increase the amount of money to computer cyber terrorism or something right after the Pentagon had been broken into, like a day after. It's like they were ready for it. Well, Los Angeles County officials have approved a plan to post the general locations of sex offenders' homes on the Internet. Because you have to. It's the only way you're going to prevent these things. The internet map would follow the design of San Diego County's regional sex offender pin map, which designates within about a half block the areas where convicted sex offenders are living after being freed from prison. You know, before Autojack went back to San Diego, we looked up his address on there. And there are three people apparently in his building or within a half block. And it was really kind of bizarre that there were that many.
Of course, there are people on this list who are convicted of major crimes and you may want to avoid, but there are also people on this list for relatively minor things and you can't get off it.
Yeah, that's true. And I'd like to see lists for all kinds of other things, too. You know, people who embezzle and steal and...
spit on the sidewalk?
Well, I don't know about that. If you go to prison for that, I guess... that day is coming. Anyway, as in the San Diego model, Los Angeles County residents would have to go to sheriff's stations to get addresses, photos, and criminal histories of offenders so that they could post that on the net. Because state law prohibits such information being disseminated over the internet. But of course, if someone gets that information, I don't know what's going to prevent them from putting it on the net anonymously or something like that. The Los Angeles map will appear on the county's website in about a month. And sticking to Los Angeles, police fed up with trash-filled alleys have unveiled the first of 11 special motion sensor cameras they hope will deter illegal dumping and graffiti in southern Los Angeles. A power pole-mounted camera in Watts is designed to snap a picture and audibly warn anyone spotted loitering in a junk-filled alley. Any of our listeners in Watts, go to a junk-filled alley and loiter for a little while and see if a camera speaks to you. The steel-encased camera, designed to withstand a bullet, but not two, plays a recorded warning that police hope will act as a deterrent. Stop. This is the LAPD. Oh, that's going to work. That's a real deterrent right there. We have just taken your photograph. We will use this photograph to prosecute you. Leave now. I'm willing to loiter in Watts just to get that recording on tape. I really am. If someone out there can just do that for us, go there with a tape recorder, you know, and get that recording. I really would like to have that. Similar cameras are planned for other South Los Angeles locations, some mounted near abandoned buildings to discourage squatters. Great, you know, you have abandoned buildings, and you put all this technology into the surveillance equipment around them rather than trying to build something out of them. Unbelievable. Legal experts say the pictures taken would be admissible in court. Those caught tagging or illegally dumping could be jailed for 6 months and fined $1,000 per crime. What you should do is go there, get the warning, but do something that's completely different than what they expect. Like, you know, say a musical number or something.
Clean up the alley.
Or clean up the alley. Take all the garbage away and see what they do then, you know.
Put it back. It's not yours.
You'll have a crowd around the camera, that's for sure. Anyway, motion sensor cameras were previously installed in several other Los Angeles neighborhoods. Nice to see that such a progressive neighborhood that they're doing things like that.
I have an update on something that came up last week or the week before on why you can't take pictures under the Brooklyn Bridge and why the cops yell at you.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry that I haven't. I swore after the last show that I was going to go to the Brooklyn Bridge and take pictures.
Should I keep this a secret then?
Well, no, don't, because I still want to do that. I want to hear all the information, though.
That's where the mayor's bunker is.
Under the Brooklyn Bridge?
Under the Brooklyn Bridge.
What, you mean it's that little, like, scaffolding thing?
I'm not exactly sure where, but New York Magazine had a survivalist article recently, and that's the tidbit they leaked.
It's on ground, though. It's not up in the air underneath the highway, is it?
No, but I would think it would be on or under the ground level, yeah.
All right.
Or in the anchorage.
Interesting. Well, regardless of what's there, you know, it's still in our city.
Yeah,
you know, and if you want to hide somewhere, hide in a mountain, you know, barricade yourself in there, but don't expect our city to become an armed fort. You know, it really gets me sick coming down here every week and seeing all the walls and seeing all the police and all the, you know, they tell people don't live in fear, yet that's exactly what they're doing by putting up all these walls and preventing people from moving freely.
You know, I have an idea that have been incubating for some time about these barricades. We should get, like, stencils and paint and go up to them and put on each barricade, "This barricade is proof the terrorists have won."
Yeah, good luck. Good luck even touching the barricade. If you can somehow spray that from afar, but I don't think you'll get away with that. But really, it's so hypocritical to be doing this. Yeah, sure, you're at risk of, you know, a truck bomb coming and blowing something up. But, you know, we're all at risk of that every single day of our lives. We're not putting barricades around our homes. We're not putting barricades around our schools.
Maybe you aren't.
You actually did it, didn't you?
Just around, like, my room, you know?
is a very sad day, Mike.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, we're not putting them up around schools. We're not putting them up around our homes. And, you know, if we did, our government would come down and say, you know, the terrorists have won because you're acting in this foolish way. Well, let's say the same thing right back. And let's make New York an open city again. You know, it used to be... I saw a movie the other day. It was taped, I think, in the 70s or 80s. In the end, some guy won a court case or something. He was walking outside the courtroom, the very courtroom that I was prosecuted in, you know, down in Lower Manhattan. And he could walk. Cars were driving in front of it. You know, people were walking back and forth. It was a free and open environment. It was our judicial system right there in the middle of the city. And now, look at it today. It's like, it's horrible. It's scary. Just all these walls. It might as well be a prison. So, we have to remember that. We have to remember what it was like and bring it back to that. And only then can we say the terrorists have not won. Anyway, let's go back to what we were talking about, which was various news bits. Okay, Operation Tips. For those who don't know, the Justice Department officials have decided to scale back the controversial Operation Tips program. I think it's because of us, because they thought we were making fun of them over the last few weeks. They said on August 9th they no longer plan to ask thousands of mail carriers, utility workers, and others with access to private homes to report suspected terrorist activity. The decision comes as the latest setback in the federal government's halting efforts to enlist citizens as the eyes and ears of the war on terrorism. Many of the initiatives have produced mixed results or are barely off the ground nearly a year after the September 11th attacks. TIPS, or the Terrorism Information and Prevention System, was billed as a way for various workers, including mail carriers, utility employees, and truckers, to alert authorities to suspicious behavior they encountered on the job. But the idea has come under fire from civil liberties groups and lawmakers as a citizen spy network, and it was targeted for elimination in the bill approved by the House last month to create a Department of Homeland Security. Under revised Justice Department plans, the program would involve only truckers, dock workers, bus drivers, and others who are in positions to monitor places and events that are obviously public. Officials also stressed that the initiative would be voluntary. So, bus drivers, dock workers, truck drivers, that kind of thing.
You know what this has the effect of doing is, by taking bus drivers, you're target people who may not be able to afford their own cars,
mm-hmm.
which is...
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. I don't know what truck drivers are going to be looking for.
I don't know either. I'm trying to place them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that means BAI listeners are no longer welcome in the TIPS program, which is a shame because we notice quite a lot of things.
There could be BAI listeners who are... fit into any of those categories.
I guess we have to become bus drivers now and truckers and dock workers and things like that. Can you become a part-time dock worker? If you have a dock and you work on it, are you a dock worker, you know? Or if you drive a truck yourself and you're not, you know, a professional trucker, I don't know. There's all kinds of possibilities here.
As Americans' cars get bigger and bigger, some of them are very truck-like indeed.
I'm still very interested. Yes, they are. I'm still very interested in the TIPS program and in providing TIPS.
A tidbit I picked up from that classic movie From Dusk to Dawn, if you drive an RV, you have a trucker's license, which makes you a trucker.
I suppose so. Yeah, that's probably true. Are we in danger of an Al-Qaeda cyber attack? Ask government officials that question, and the answer is likely to be yes, sooner rather than later. House Terrorism Panel Chairman Lamar Smith, for instance, recently predicted there is a 50% chance the next Al-Qaeda attack against America will involve potentially devastating internet sabotage. Now, ask yourself, what could happen to the internet that would be that devastating, you know? As far as I'm concerned, the whole internet could go away tomorrow and we'd survive just fine. We really would. In fact, I think a lot of us would do a lot better without it. It's gotten pathetic, you know? It's just, I guess it's all commercial. Maybe that's what they mean. You know, without our commercials, we're lost. I think very likely we would survive just fine. Of course, the power grid and all that kind of stuff is not on the internet, or damn well shouldn't be. Neither should hospital records and things like that. And that's, of course, where actual problems could exist if those things were compromised. Ask many computer security and intelligence experts, the answer is decidedly different than what Lamar Smith says. These analysts and consultants contend that scant evidence exists that Osama bin Laden's terrorist network is capable of conducting such an attack or is even much inclined to try. In fact, they say al-Qaeda has so far demonstrated it is a largely low-tech operation that has used the internet and telecommunications in simple, rudimentary ways. Said John Pike, a military and high-tech analyst at globalsecurity.org, basically, they're just a bunch of Gomers, referring to the Hayseed Marine and the old Gomer Pyle TV show. I don't think there was any documented evidence of a well-developed interest or capability in this area. So I think he's trying to goad them, actually. That's not the message emanating from the Bush administration's cyber cops or many on Capitol Hill who will speak darkly of an electronic Pearl Harbor awaiting America around the corner. Do you remember when that phrase was first made?
Oh, yeah.
Back, it was 1991, I remember this, that old Geraldo Rivera show, that awful show, Now It Can Be Told. Remember this? And, in fact, we had a segment on it. This was the whole deal where we actually filmed something in Amsterdam, and I got Geraldo Rivera's camera stolen in Switzerland, but that's a whole other story. And Win Schwartau is, excuse me, on TV saying that we're facing an electronic Pearl Harbor. And as he says this, this mushroom cloud appears on the screen, which, of course, was not Pearl Harbor at all. That was Hiroshima. For God's sake, they couldn't even get it right. But ever since then, you know, with increasing frequency, as we get closer to the present, they've been talking about this electronic Pearl Harbor. They really like that soundbite. But nobody really knows what it means. So that's one of the reasons why the FBI's, I guess, third priority is cyber terrorism, whatever that happens to be. And God help all of us who are just curious and trying to learn or teach. Okay, what else? Let's move over to spam. A lot of people are fighting back against spam. That's the flood of unwanted commercial email that gluts many computer inboxes. Some of the spammers say the fight isn't exactly fair. The head of one of the nation's largest spam producers says spammers are subjected to the same kind of actions that doctors who perform abortions are sometimes subjected to. A great parallel these people have come
up
with.
Shot by a sniper? I wish.
Tom Cowles says anti-spam crusaders have plastered his home address and phone number all over the web. Other spammers say they have received telephone death threats or deer hearts sent to them in the mail. Well, that's not exactly fair to the deer, that's for sure, but for all the criticism they get, people like Cowles say they are performing an important role in the business world. Yeah, focusing hate, I guess. They say they are helping businesses who lack the financial clout of the big companies to get their commercial messages to potential customers without spending a lot of money. Now, I ask, has anybody out there ever received a piece of unsolicited mail, spam, that invites you to do something, pay somebody money to get some kind of a deal? Has it ever worked out for you? Have you ever actually pursued it? Has anyone ever had a positive experience from spam who is not, in fact, a spam artist themselves? Have you ever heard of anybody?
No.
Jim? Nobody? Ever? I mean, I have a desire to respond to a spam, the next spam I get, and follow through and see just what it is they want.
But, money.
Well, of course, but, you know, you have to send it to somebody. And then when you send it to that person, then you have their identity. You know who they are. So, I don't know. Maybe that's a key, is to find out who these people really are. And, yeah, expose them. Absolutely. Expose their names. I see nothing wrong with that. People should be accountable for their actions. And spam clogs up the net more than anything I can possibly think of. But one thing that could clog up the net a lot worse than that is legislation to prevent spam, because that could be misused in all kinds of other ways. We have to think of a technological solution to this, and a lot of people are working on that. You're into Spam Assassin, is that yours?
Yes, Spam Assassin. Everyone who runs a Unix system should install it.
Mm-hmm. I'll consider it. I really will. Let's see. This person writes in. You mentioned a few weeks ago about the possibility of a competitor intercepting the phone calls of an escort service in Las Vegas. It was Kevin Mitnick's story. Was that Las Vegas, New Mexico, or Las Vegas, Nevada? Las Vegas, Nevada, very funny. I have noticed that whenever I get or make a phone call, the probability of a telemarketer calling me within a minute of my hanging up is very high. I'm wondering if the phone company is selling a service to the telemarketers, or whether the telemarketers have hacked the phone system. Knowing when you are home is valuable information for a telemarketer, so I believe they pay for such a service. Do you have any information or knowledge of this happening? Sign, zero effect. Well, it's a good question, and I've noticed it too sometimes. When you get off the phone, that's when the phone rings and it's a telemarketer or a computer of some sort. It would be something if they were able to tell when your phone was in use and know that you're home and call you at that time. That would be very valuable information to have. And I think we should take a good look at the phone companies to see if they might perhaps be providing that information somehow. And what exactly would be violating if they were providing that information? Is it violating some kind of an agreement? Maybe it's not violating anything, and that's why they're getting away with it if they're doing it. You know, it's something worth looking into.
I agree with you that it should be looked into, but I also think that it might just be a problem with selective memory. Mm-hmm. If you're not home and the telemarketer calls and you don't have an answering machine, and even if you do often, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you just hang up and then the telemarketer calls, you notice. You link the two together.
I'm convinced something like that exists on the net, though, because many times I send mail to somebody and I get two pieces of spam back within a minute. And then an hour will go by and nothing comes in. And then the same thing happens.
That would be relatively easy. Just look at your ports to see when mail goes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, there might be tools out there doing that as well, so that's something that should be looked at as in addition. Related to this, though, there's a service that certain phone companies are offering called Telemarketer Call Screening. It's *78. Now, I don't think it's offered anywhere in our listening area. Of course, we get listened to all around the world, so that's probably incorrect, but I mean locally in the New York area. Telemarketer call screening allows the subscribing customer to intercept incoming calls with a special announcement that instructs the telemarketer to go away. This is how the feature works. Once the service is ordered, the customer turns it on by selecting *78 or dialing *78. All calls will then receive the following message. You have called a number which does not accept calls from telemarketers. All other callers may press 1 if they wish to complete the call. Now, if the customer has caller ID service, then only calls with no caller ID information will hear the recording. All other calls with caller ID information will go through without the recording, and the customer can decide whether to answer the call. It costs about $2 a month, and it's available in, I think, a bunch of independent companies. So, yeah, that's something I think that could be very interesting, because if they press 1, then they're violating some sort of an agreement. They're actually pressing a button saying they're not a telemarketer or something along those lines. So I'd like to know if anybody has that service, if it works. Well, our favorite people. Who are our favorite people?
There's so many.
Yeah, but who are the ones that we really hate?
Oh, hate.
Yeah.
Corporate.
Corporate? Yeah, not individuals. We don't hate individuals we hate over the air.
NBAA?
Well, no, we don't hate them so much.
RIAA?
We want to guide them to
Miramax?
The light. No. No film companies. No, a phone company.
Oh, our own. Our very own.
No, not that one.
Oh, not that one?
No.
Sprint?
There you go, Sprint PCS. See, that wasn't hard. When Lois Bass called Sprint PCS customer service earlier this year with questions about her bill, she didn't know Sprint would charge her $3.50 for the call. That's right. When she saw the charge and the following month's bill, she was shocked and called customer service again to question the charge. She was charged $3.50 for a second time. Now the retired social worker from St. George, Utah, drives 10 miles to the nearest Sprint store to resolve problems with her wireless phone service, of which there are many, I'm sure. While she's there, store employees usually call Sprint customer service to assist her. She isn't charged for those calls. But they probably are. Customer service fees are only one of several new charges and policies that cell phone network operators have introduced this year to dig deeper into the wallets of consumers. These kinds of additional fees are one way for the top U.S. network operators such as AT&T Wireless and Sprint PCS to increase their revenue, Industry Watcher said. Do they have the number for Sprint PCS offhand? No? Okay, we'll have to get it then. Dalton? All right. From one computer to another.
Toll-free directory assistance, powered by TellMe. Say the full name of the listing you want.
Sprint PCS.
Here's the number for Sprint PCS Customer Care. 800-480-4727.
Thank
Once
you very
again,
much.
The number is...
No, that's okay. Go
800.
Away. Get out of here. I really don't like that service. And neither do all the operators who were laid off as a result of it. I'll tell you something else about that service when we finish with this little fiasco here.
Welcome to Sprint CCS, the clear alternative to cellular.
Okay, one operator. Para elegir español.
We're sorry, the digits you entered are invalid. You will be prompted to try again.
I remember this. Okay.
Welcome to Sprint CCS.
One for English.
Bienvenido a Sprint PCS. Claramente, la mejor alternativa al servicio celular. Si tiene un teléfono,
I guess one isn't
Sprint
English.
PCS, y quiere hacer
One's
una
always pregunta, English. What do you mean?
Favor de pulsar uno.
How do I get out of this?
Para empezar servicio en su nuevo teléfono Sprint PCS. Favor de pulsar dos.
Mike, aren't you taking Spanish in that school of yours?
Yeah.
You are? Okay. What's going on here?
It's speaking
para
Spanish.
Verificar el estado de un pedido.
That's what they teach you.
Yeah.
Por teléfono.
I just want to say right now, I am ashamed as an American not to know another language. I really am.
El número que ha introducido no es válido.
I know what that means.
Se le pedirá que lo vuelva a introducir. Bienvenido.
Right, let's try to break out of Spanish mode.
Claramente,
la
mejor el número que ha introducido no es válido. Por favor, trate de llamar más tarde.
Try again later.
Try again later.
Yeah, something más tarde.
Well, that's the universal language right there. That's the language of Sprint. Okay, let's try this again.
This time, listen. When all else fails, read the instructions.
Yeah, I want to hear her say, press 1 for Spanish. I've never heard that before.
Welcome to Sprint PCS, the clear alternative to cellular.
Para elegir español, favor de pulsar uno ahora.
Please listen carefully.
Oh, you don't press anything for English.
If you have a Sprint PCS phone and you have a question, please press 1. If you are calling to activate a Sprint PCS phone, please press 2. To purchase a Sprint PCS phone with a major credit card or debit card, please press 3. To purchase a Sprint PCS phone with cash or check, please press 4 for the nearest retail store location. If you are calling about Sprint Home Long Distance Service, please press 5. To repeat these options, please press 9.
How do we get to a human? Which one do you think?
Can't do that.
I think 1.
Yeah, I think 1 too.
If you need to activate your Sprint PCS phone, please press 1. If you have questions regarding your phone or service, please press 2. To purchase accessories for your Sprint PCS phone, please press 3.
So far 2.
If you would like to purchase a Sprint PCS phone, please press 4.
All right, we'll press 2.
Thank you for calling Sprint PCS. To better serve you, we will be completing a system upgrade this weekend. During this time, we will be unable to perform any account maintenance or activations of service. We apologize for the inconvenience. Thank you for choosing Sprint PCS. You can also access your account information at www.sprintpcs.com. Please enter your PCS telephone number, including area code.
Didn't I say I had a question about service? I didn't say anything about having a phone.
Right.
I think you did, actually.
I did?
We're sorry. The digits you entered are invalid.
But I didn't enter
You will be prompted to try again.
This again. You know, I'm never going to get a human.
PCS telephone number, including area code.
Okay, I'm just going to go silent here. I mean, I'm not going to enter anything.
We're sorry. The digits you entered are invalid. You will be prompted to try again.
Okay, but I think this is the last time I will be prompted.
Including area code. Please hold while we connect your call.
Hey.
Yeah, a little stubbornness pays off sometimes.
Hi, this is Claire.
Oh, no. Whoops. I'm sorry, Claire. Claire, I totally confused you. Let's start again.
You can say things like, I have a question about my bills, or I need to make a payment.
I would like an operator.
I would like an operator.
Okay. To help us better serve you, I'd like to know which area you have a question about. When you hear the one you want...
She just told me
I have a question about obtaining an operator.
I think you're being too calm.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Get me an operator, damn it! See, that's a tone I understand.
Please tell me which area you would like.
No, I guess not.
Let me get someone to help you.
There we
we
go.
Appreciate your business. Please stay on the line for the next available...
Funny way of showing it, Claire. Very funny way of showing
it. It hurt you being angry. That's what happened last time we worked with Claire.
You have to pay for Claire. That's what the $350 is for.
She must have a nice house.
We're going to take phone calls, 212-209-2900. Hello? Now that's just rude. That is just rude. Can you believe that? They just hung up on me.
What's their music?
Either that or they failed to complete their own call. We'll just leave the Sprint Symphony going in the background while we finish up these stories here. Okay, questions from listeners. I love the show. I'm a faithful online listener weekly. You guys make Wednesdays tolerable. Well, we try. I have a few questions for you. I don't have a credit card. And what kind of tone is that? Is that coming from Sprint? I think it is. Interesting. We'll leave that on, too. See what happens to that. I don't have a credit card, and if I had one, I sure wouldn't use it on the net. Is there some way for paying for the leftover H2K2 merchandise? Of course there is. Simply send us whatever you would send with a credit card and send it in the mail. Don't send cash. It's always dangerous. And if you're interested in some of the leftover H2K2 stuff, go to our website, or actually go to our internet store, which is store.2600.com, and you can find out all kinds of interesting things. But we're running out of stuff, so should do it soon. Let's see what else. In light of the privacy concerns you voice in your program, I'd like to share my opinion with you. It's about this "why worry if you have nothing to hide" attitude. You've all come in contact with that at some point. Well, there is a catch. Let's go back in time, say 1500 A.D. I'd rather not, but okay, let's do it. You live in Europe and you have this strange fantasy. There is no God and the Bible is a load of made-up stories. Yeah. And nowadays, you're not supposed to run into trouble, but in 1500 or much shorter ago, maybe like 1960 in some parts of this country, you die. That's very true. Now, if surveillance systems existed then as they do now, we'd probably still have no freedom of or from religion because all non-Christians would get the death penalty as per the law. What I mean to say is that you might want to hide right now. What you might want to hide right now might be perfectly allowable in the future. So with these, if you have nothing to hide, it's okay. Privacy invasions, our social and cultural development will halt and probably reverse. Another example, writer Oscar Wilde was put in a labor camp at the end of the 19th century for something that isn't considered a crime this day and age. If Big Brother was in place then, his like-minded would have had a hard time getting together, discussing how to bring about the freedoms they have now. Signed, Irwin. Very good point. Very good point. Once you put the tools in place, you know, it's very hard to move ahead because there's no reason to move ahead once you have that kind of control. All right. 212-209-2900 is our phone number. And one more letter, and then we'll go right to the phones. I am considering hosting and or redistributing the Off the Hook archives, which I know you encourage. Yes, we do, actually, very much so. So please copy as much as you want from our website and mirror it all over the place. However, I recently realized that I don't know if any of your shows in the pre-DMCA era contain forbidden knowledge, knowledge which might be illegal to rebroadcast under today's law. Have you given this thought? I think your recorded shows should still be protected constitutionally, even when rebroadcast at a later time, but I'm not a lawyer. Times have indeed changed. Thanks for the great show. David in L.A. David, first of all, I hope you go to Watts and cause some trouble so we can get that recording from you. Second of all, very good point as far as the DMCA. And, yes, some of our previous stuff, some of our previous issues, which certainly concerns me more because, after all, publishing a magazine is the main thing we do. Yeah, a lot of it could be considered completely illegal today under this ridiculous law that we have. But one thing we're not going to do is run away and cower and take things off the website and change the way we think and act. So if enough people do that, enough people stand up to this kind of thing, at least we'll get some attention, you know, if we don't win altogether. And hopefully we will win. All right, we have a full switchboard. 212-209-2900. Let's go to this one. Good evening. You're on the air.
Thank you. Just a couple of points. There was a bill that was passed that you're talking about sex crimes location address listing.
Uh-huh.
Well, there was something that you could call a number to find out when when the rapist was coming out of prison. As different cases of different people maxed out and were getting out. But the thing
so
is, it was a
wait by the gate or something. Is that the idea?
It was a 900 number. Yeah, right. It was a 900 number. You had to pay for it.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's pretty... It's like getting a bill at the hospital for going in... If you're raped, going in for an inspection, it's like getting a bill for that.
I suppose.
Also, you mentioned the TIPS is not going to use the mail carriers and certain other people. I hope you just don't assume that, well, they're not going to because they said so. I mean, now you'll just invite the postman in for that lemonade, and he's, like, really, you know, scouring your whole house with a camera.
But how are the postmen going to know that they really do want their information? I mean, that means there's some sort of secret society, you know? How do we get into that secret society, you know?
Decipher the code over the general post office.
Yeah. All these secret societies, I think, you know, we need to know about. We need to know how they work. You know, there's a lot of them out there.
I'm working on it. Also, there is one bus driver that is a producer at BAI.
Well, let's not reveal any information on that. We have people everywhere.
Okay.
All right. Talk about infiltration. 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air. Oh, that was a good call. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Hi, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
Hi. Okay. You were talking about your little excursion through Brooklyn.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
right, and the thing, you were trying to get to Lexington Avenue. Actually, there is a Lexington Avenue in Brooklyn.
There is?
Yes. It's in, like, the Bushwick, Brownsville section, and I think there's also one in Queens.
I wish I could name streets, because if I could name streets, I would every street. It looks like Mexico City. Mexico City has like 20,000 different street names. You know, you'd name them after all kinds of different things, not the same thing over and over again, not numbers. Yeah, it would be harder to find places if you didn't know your way around.
Right.
But it would be more interesting.
Right, and some of the streets in Brooklyn, too, and are named after fruits, and they're named after cities in New York State.
Uh-huh. So, but there's a Bleecker Street in Brooklyn, too, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
Now, why is there, you know, Bleecker Street when there's one, you know, only half a mile away in Manhattan?
Well, I guess when they name the streets, I don't know, but the different boroughs, sometimes you'll see the same names, like Lexington Avenue or, you know, 3rd Avenue or Avenue D or something, because there's an Avenue D in Brooklyn. There are parts of Brooklyn where it's, you know, Avenue, you know, D, E, F, etc.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wish we'd use a little more imagination. I mean, how many Maple Avenues are there in the United States?
The quick explanation is that Brooklyn was a separate city from New York City, which was just Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Bronx was a number of separate towns. Queens was a number of separate cities and towns. So, like Fulton Street, there's a Fulton Street in Manhattan, a Fulton Street in Brooklyn. Fulton, the inventor of the steam engine, had a ferry that went from Fulton Street in one to Fulton Street in the other.
Okay, if you have a ferry, fine. You can keep the name of the street the same in two different boroughs. But otherwise, I don't see any need for duplication.
I know
a lot of people live on these streets.
You would name them after famous people. You would name them after landholders who often owned land in two separate cities.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I often thought that if I was platting a city, as the phrase goes, I'd try to be educational with the streets. Put street names for one area, names of presidents in the order in which they served. Another one, the state birds of all the states, whatever.
Right.
Nobel Prize winners in order.
Right.
Some of the Indian tribes that we eliminated.
Sure.
Well, they named towns in Long Island after them, right?
Right, or names of maybe soap operas, because that's easy to remember. Edge of Night Avenue, Search for Tomorrow Boulevard.
All right, you're starting to convince me that it was a bad idea. But, that's something to consider.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know, if ever I find myself in charge of naming a street in some new place that they're destroying the forest, I'd like to come up with something a little bit more imaginative than, you know, Elm Street or something like that.
Name it after the elements. The first one, hydrogen, then helium, then lithium.
But, you know, there are people out there that are in charge of this. There are people out there that, you know, name things. Just like there are people out there that rate the movies.
You get
people with control. You know?
And
I bet they're part of one of those secret societies that we don't know anything about.
No, they turn to the public, and the public is either undereducated or unimaginative and doesn't think of this sort of stuff. They say, let's call it maple, because maple is my favorite tree.
How about your favorite drug, you know? Could you name a street after that?
Ooh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Prozac Way. We'll see. Good evening. You're on the air. Oh, that offended somebody. Good evening. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. You caught me by surprise. My name is Terry. I'm calling from Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
The way to override that Claire recording with Sprint pretty crappy service is to use, say the word representative. Then she'll try to come on again and say, okay. Then you just say representative, and you'll get out of that.
But, you know, even when we got transferred, it still hung up on us in the end, you know?
Well, After it transfers you out, it'll ask you to enter the last four digits of your Social Security number.
But if they don't know me as a customer yet, you know, what do I enter then?
Well, you could just say representative.
I think I'm going to be saying representative a lot in the years ahead, you know. That's all I'm going to say in life, just representative.
Okay, I have a question. I don't know. I hope you'll be able to help me. I'm pretty fed up with Sprint, as you could probably tell. They keep dropping my service. I had my phone checked out. The service has been dropping at least 6 weeks now, 60% of the time. So I called Sprint yesterday, and they said they couldn't prorate my bill, but they would give me 60 free minutes per month. For 3 months. Do you think this is reasonable, or do you think I should...
If you use the phone as, you know, enough to benefit from that, what is it that you're getting credit for exactly?
Well, my phone keeps dropping. Saying either network busy, or the signal has faded, or... And it's dropping in places that it wasn't before. And the representative did explain to me that they were having maintenance, ongoing maintenance. And I said, well, do you think you let your customers know that? You know, do you either prorate our bill or give us some money or, you know, let us know something.
Right.
That's
going on. I would make a complaint every single time a billing cycle comes that you're not happy with. And as soon as they stop giving you any kind of credit, then that's when you drop the service, you know, because they don't care.
That's just basically it, I think. And next question I have, is there a way, because the only reason I'm really keeping Sprint is that when the service representative activated my account at the Sprint store, he gave me a phone number that's almost identical to my home phone number. And I really would like to keep that, but it doesn't seem that the other wireless companies can pick up
number. Actually, within a year, I think, if not sooner, there'll be portability, which means that you can switch to a different company and keep your phone number. I don't know the exact details as to when that's going to be worked out, but that is something that is mandated that they have to provide. So you will be able to switch and keep your phone number.
Also, don't hold your breath on that, though. It was promised for several years ago, and then it was going to be this November, and they just pushed it forward again a few more months. So we'll see when or if they actually do it.
Okay. Or about the same time Sprint stops dropping your calls. We'll get that.
We'll get that.
All right.
And does anyone, this is just like a general question, anyone, if your listeners can phone, does anyone have the voice stream? I know they have a new plan, 600 anytime minutes and nights and weekends free. I want to know if anyone is using that, and how is voice stream overall? And the last comment I have, there's a Madison, Lenox, Lexington, and Broadway all within a six-block area of each other, 6 to 7 blocks in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn. It starts on the edge of the Bushwick borderline, and it goes through Clinton Hills in Brooklyn.
Great. We can have a whole show about street names. Thanks for the info.
Okay.
Oh, boy. What have I started here? I remember now, also, I said I was going to mention something about the 800 service that AT&T offers, the one that's powered by Tell Me. I know people that have 800 numbers that when you speak to that little voice-activated thing, it doesn't list them. The human gets them, but the computer does not. So how do you get it listed there? Nobody seems to know how to do this. Unless you have AT&T as your 800 number provider, there doesn't seem to be any way to get a listing. It's extremely unfair because, as we've demonstrated, at night and on weekends, there are no humans at 800-555-1212. So that means that even though these people are paying to have a listing, they're not getting it because the computer doesn't recognize it. And nobody at AT&T, nobody at TellMe, nobody at their original phone company knows how to get them listed in that voice-activated computer.
That's a job for Michael Powell. We have to write him.
Yeah, it is. That's a good idea.
Just one piece of news that we didn't mention before. Edgar Dijkstra, who was one of the first famous computer scientists, a winner of the Turing Award, just passed away last week. He's perhaps best known for his paper, Go-To Considered Harmful, in favor of structured programming, also for a shortest path algorithm named after him, and, you know, just a number of other things that are absolutely fundamental to computer science today. So that's a bit of sad news.
Okay. Let's take a phone call, 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Okay. Listen, I work for a major electronics retailer here in the New York area.
Mm-hmm.
That's nationwide, and one of our companies that we do business with is Sprint Telephones.
Okay.
And also Verizon. And this is something to me about the charge of $3,500. I'm going to have to look into that.
Are you by chance using a Sprint phone right now?
No, I have Verizon.
Okay, well, you're cutting in and out a little bit.
Yeah, okay. But the idea is that this is interesting. We just went to a meeting today.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this representative who comes to us and tells us about new products and services that they're offering.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to check this out. You know, actually, we have a competing firm. I mean, Verizon is sold in our store, too. And I think that's the better service, believe it or not, just between you and me.
Uh-huh. Well, and all the listeners right now.
Okay, the mapped area is much better than Sprint's mapped area, believe it or not,
mm-hmm.
coast to coast. That alone, I think, makes Verizon a better service. And it's true, people do get a lot of dropped calls on Sprint.
Mm-hmm.
That's a major complaint, no matter where you are. So,
yeah,
Sprint, get your act together.
All right, we'll see if they do.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
Here, yes. Let me just turn on the radio, actually move out of the room. Okay. Recently, I was at H2K2. You might, of course, remember me, Emmanuel. I handed you. You were looking around, casting around for a cheap phone card, and I remember I gave you one.
Was this at the social engineering panel when we got about 50 of them?
No. You were in the hallway.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, you were in the hallway, and I have not yet to find a cheaper card than that one.
Really? That was the, 3.5 cents, was it?
3.47 cents a minute, no connection, no usage charges, no whatever, other than it's 9 units if you use it from a payphone, because they have to pay whatever that fee is,
mm-hmm.
and 21 units if you use their information. So that's kind of a ripoff, but that's the only one, and it's rechargeable, so you can... You can get a 50-minute card and put 3,000 minutes on it.
Now, can you tell people how to get it?
Easiest way to do this, it's purchased out of the Sam's Club Wholesale Club.
Okay.
And any non-member can shop in that club. They have to pay 5% more. Now, the cards that that are bundle-packed, the 120-minute cards, I think there was like 10 of them bundle-packed for like $20.
Okay, that's about all the time we have, so that's valuable information. Thanks for letting us know. And that's going to do it for us here tonight on this edition of Off the Hook. As I mentioned, I'll be coming to you live from France, actually Saint-Pierre, which is an island right off of Newfoundland, next week. And if you see a black car with a Free Kevin sticker on it heading up for Nova Scotia and Newfoundland in the next week, it's probably us or maybe somebody else. In any event, for everybody, have a good night. See you next week.
Langston Hughes' Little Ham is coming to town. Last Christmas, when this musical treat played for a limited engagement, the critics insisted that it be returned for an open engagement, calling it delightful and charming. And the Village Voice cheered that Little Ham is a jewel, the best-sung show in town, capable of exceeding your expectations of delight. And the first performance at the John Houseman Theater on Wednesday, September 11th, will be just for us, the WBAI audience. It's $25 a ticket, and we can usher in Langston Hughes' Little Ham together. Call us at 212-255-4834 and get aboard to see Langston Hughes' Little Ham. Curtain is 8 p.m. and the John Houseman Theater is at 450 West 42nd Street. All proceeds that night go to WBAI. The phone number again, 255-4834. That's Little Ham on September 11th.